So today we're beginning a new sermon series. It's going to be on the book of Joshua. So you might want to be turning your Bibles over to Joshua chapter 1 at this time, or finding it on your mobile device or tablet or whatever the case may be. Several years ago, I heard about a book called Do Hard Things. It's a Christian book. I have to admit, I never read the book, but I was very intrigued by the title. I guess not intrigued enough to actually read the book, but I was still intrigued by the title, Do Hard Things. We think about the call to follow Jesus. Many of us hear that call to follow Jesus, but in response to Jesus' words, come follow me, some of us first say, wait, I'll follow you, but can I first grab my helmet and pads? Or we think about the call to take up our cross and follow Jesus. We think, can I first grab some sandpaper and sort of make sure that that cross doesn't give me any splinters as I carry it? Or we hear the call to go and suffer with Jesus. And that sounds a little bit difficult, a little bit challenging, so we respond, can I first grab a shield so that I don't suffer too much? Or we hear Jesus' words to the disciples, and I believe to us as well. The world may hate you. Don't be surprised if they hate you. We know what Jesus said, right? They hated me. And for the people pleasers in the room, and I am one of them, we think, I can handle dislike, but hate? I don't think so. So we have a propensity to move toward safety and comfort, don't we? And so these radical calls from Jesus, they rock our world. They pull us out of our comfort zone. They're a little bit risky, aren't they? And so that book title, Do Hard Things. Be willing to accept the challenges that God puts in front of your life. That hits us at our core, partly because we love our safety so much. In Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read about the commission of Joshua. It was a call for Joshua to do something very difficult. He was called to do something that we would consider a hard thing for sure. So Joshua chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun. That's not Joshua, son of a Nun, because that just doesn't work that way. Moses is a. Moses, my servant, is dead. So we have to stop there. Moses, my servant, is dead. Israel is now leaderless. And for some of the Israelites, I'd imagine that that verse right there is the end of the story. Without Moses, what can we do? Where can we go? They had trust and they had faith in their leader, Moses. In fact, it's said about Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 10 through 12. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in all the sight of all Israel. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Moses is dead. What's next for the people? Let's move on to the second part of verse 2. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." These few verses here, I want us to notice the promises of God. This is going to be really important, so we're going to want to keep this in our mind as we work through this text this morning. The promises of God, the first one in verse 3, "I will give you every place where you set your foot. No one will be able to stand against you all the day of your life." That's the second promise found in verse 5. The third one is found in the second part of verse 5. "I will be with you." That's so very important. Again, if you're into highlighting or underlining text, that's one to highlight. "I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you," God says to Joshua in verse 6. "You will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors." So there's the four promises there in those few verses. We're going to come back to these promises a little bit later on in the message. Verse 7. "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." So Joshua is told by God in this commissioning text that he is to remain true to the law. The law, we know, was a gift from God and was established so that the people could be witnesses to the watching world of who God is and what he is doing in the world. By following the law, the people would live peacefully with one another and perhaps more importantly, with God. Joshua, we're told, is to meditate on the law and follow it all of his life. It was to be on his lips. And we know that if it's going to be on his lips, where does it need to be first? In his heart. And here's another promise. Following the law is the path to prosperity and success. And now verse 9, sounding like a broken record at this point. Perhaps this is for emphasis. "Have I not commanded you?" God asks. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Another promise from God to Joshua. The Lord will be with you wherever you go. We think of the background of Joshua. I think it's important to note this in Joshua chapter 1. First of all, Joshua led the Israelites in battle against the Amalekites. So he is a proven military leader, we might say. We read about that in Exodus chapter 17. Joshua went with Moses as Moses ascended Mount Sinai. Joshua was referred to as Moses' aide or assistant. He knew Moses well. There was, we might say, like an apprenticeship going on there between Moses and Joshua. And then many times Joshua is mentioned with Moses. It happens several times in those first few books of the Old Testament. Moses and Joshua. Moses and Joshua. They had a close relationship. And then, of course, perhaps what we know most about Joshua is he, along with Caleb, when they went to spy out the land, those two came back and gave a favorable report. "We can conquer these armies," Joshua and Caleb said. Of course, the other spies said, "There's no way. It's like we're insects compared to these people." So Joshua has been faithful from the start. That's what I want us to note this morning. His life was an open door in which Yahweh could work. And now Joshua, this faithful servant, Moses' aide, is going to lead the people into the promised land. He was kind of like the new Moses for the people. He's the new leader. Joshua knew that this call that he was receiving was a hard task. Not only did Joshua spend a whole lot of time with Moses, not only was Joshua faithful, but perhaps because of that faith, he recognized the unfaithfulness of his people. The Israelites had a wavering faith, not an unwavering faith. Remember, an entire generation of the Israelites were unable to move into the promised land because of their disobedience to God. The Israelites complained and griped to their leader, Moses, and to God continually. The Israelites participated in idol worship. And, as I've already mentioned, he was well aware that the majority of the spies, upon coming back to report on what they saw in the promised land, again, they said, "We're like grasshoppers to these people. There's no way we could conquer these militaries. It's too hard. It's too difficult." Joshua was well aware of the challenge of this text. But amidst the challenge, amidst the difficulty, Joshua was aware that God would be with him. Maybe that's why that promise is made so many times in these first 9 verses. "I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you." With the exhortation to be strong and courageous, which we also see a number of times in this text, we see that language about a promise of presence. So we need strength and courage to do hard things, right? We get this. But I think more to the point, what I want us to get this morning is we need God's presence in our life to do hard things. Strength and courage pour out of a life that recognizes and is keenly aware of the presence of God. God guides, he instructs, he empowers his people to accomplish the task that he's called him to. That's what we're going to see with Joshua all throughout this book. He's receiving a hard task. Let's not miss that. This is a hard task. And to it, Joshua could have responded. Perhaps maybe he did. He could have responded, "I don't have what it takes to lead the Israelites. Can't do it." I think we all know how God would have responded to Joshua if Joshua would have said that. He would have said, "Joshua, you know what? You're right. You don't have the strength, the ability to do it." And then he would have said, "But I do." I think that's the point of the promise of presence. Joshua's name, it means Yahweh saves. This is about Yahweh. This is about what Yahweh is going to do for the people. It's really not about Joshua. Joshua is simply being a faithful instrument in the hands of the Lord. Verses 10 through 18 now. "So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, 'Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your Lord your God is giving you for your own.' But the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh," Joshua said, "remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, 'The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise.' Then they answered Joshua, 'Hear this word. Whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you.'" Don't miss this. "Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them will be put to death." And here it is again. "Only be strong and courageous." So Joshua was called to a difficult task. The thing is, as a faithful community of God's people, I think he's calling all of us to a hard task, to live faithfully to him. And perhaps as you reflect on your life, there may be some specific hard things that God is calling you to do. To tell a friend about Jesus. We think about loving our neighbors, those that are our physical neighbors. That might be challenging for some of you. God's promise to Joshua is the same promise that he offers us as well. In that endeavor, God is with you. Perhaps it's to offer forgiveness to someone that has hurt us. Be strong and courageous, for God is with you. To work on your marriage. That may be exactly the hard thing that some of us are called to do. It's Valentine's Day, so you have to mention marriage, right? Maybe that's the hard thing that God is calling you to do. To say, I'm sorry. To start volunteering for some important work, to work within the church or some other organization, to do good toward others. God is with you in the task. And for our students, maybe it's time to be friends with that kid. You know that kid that nobody else wants to hang out with? Maybe that's exactly the hard thing that God is calling you to do, to befriend that kid. Maybe it's time to take strides to ending that addictive behavior, whatever it may be. God is with you in that task. Those promises again, I said we'd come back to it. God told Joshua, I will give you the land. He says, I will be with you. He said, you will lead the people into the land because of my power. That's God speaking to Joshua. The promises remind us that this call is way more about God than it is about Joshua. God is the one who speaks to Joshua. Then, and only then, can Joshua first listen and then respond. God is the one that is going to be giving his people, not Joshua's people, his people, the land. Joshua is simply called to obey God and lead the people there. God is the one that gives Israel the law and his word. Joshua and the people are to meditate on it. God promises victory over the Canaanite armies. Joshua is simply going to lead them into battle. God is the primary actor in this story. As we look at the book of Joshua over the next several weeks, I want us to notice that. God is the primary actor. Joshua is not the hero of the story. The Israelite army, they're certainly not the heroes of the story. It's God who is the hero. Strength and courage are certainly important values to possess. But strength and courage, I believe, are primarily about trusting God and his call. And so as we study the book of Joshua, we'll see Joshua accomplish these incredible things. But the real hero, again, is Joshua, or the real hero is God. There's an old saying that preachers love, and so I'll share it. Where God guides, God provides. I think that's what we see in Joshua chapter 1. And so a question. What is God doing in us and even through us when we do hard things? First of all, I think that he's growing us. We come to rely more and more on him. By stepping out, Joshua is putting him in position for God to work through him. Of course, we don't know how the story would have gone if Joshua would have said, no thanks. But what we do know is that Joshua said yes to the call, and we watch God grow Joshua, mature him into a leader that was much like Moses. And he, of course, uses us. When we say yes, when we do those hard things, God uses us. We have an opportunity to make an impact on others. Putting it negatively, how often do we forfeit an opportunity to make an impact on others because of our unwillingness to do something that's hard? I'm going to say that again. How often do we forfeit an opportunity to make a big impact on others because we're not willing to do that hard thing? God is with us in this. And then as we do these hard things, God is teaching us more about him, more about his faithfulness, his love, his call, his presence in our life. We learn more about what life lived in relationship is like as we do these hard things. But we love our safety, don't we? We want to put a helmet on first and some pads. God says, follow me, trust me, I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. And so let me remind you, as we close out this morning, the one who spoke the world into existence is with us. The one who has given us air to breathe, the one who led the Israelites into the promised land, and most importantly, the one who raised Jesus from the dead is with you right now. Right now, he's with you. In 30 minutes, when you walk out those doors, God doesn't just stay here. That's not how it works. When you walk out these doors, when you're at Del Salsa's or La Tapatia, keep it local, or anywhere else, this is not a time for commercials. I understand that. Anyways, wherever you are, God is with you. And so, be strong and courageous. And as you are, keep your eyes peeled, because I think you're going to see God do amazing things in our lives on an individual basis and also on a collective basis. God is with you. If there's anybody here today that desires the prayers of the church family, as usual, we want you to know that we'd be glad to pray with you or for you. This is a no judgment zone. We're all in this together. Here in a moment, Tyler's going to lead us in a song. If you desire the prayers of the church family, come forward and let us know what's on your heart, and we'll pray with you for you. If there's anybody here today worshiping with us that is ready to be baptized into Christ, we would love, absolutely love, to witness you make that incredible choice today. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we continue to worship our powerful God.